This is Reggie ATL coming to you live from the lovely city of Atlanta here with Rachel Winder.
Reg and Rach.
You want to do Rach and Reg and ATL?
No, I like, put your name first. It's okay.
I'm telling you, man. So are you going to be more courteous in 2019? Because I feel like you just started off just now.
I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I'm too cynical for them.
Okay.
I don't think that people follow through.
So we're coming to you live via iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify. Tune in.
2019, we got them all, tune folks.
I feel like I'm going to add a couple more to that, to the point where that's going to be like 2 minutes of just saying it.
It'll be like, so maybe I can pre-record it and just press a button. Title.
Goodness gracious. Did you say MySpace just now?
Yeah.
Wow. How old were you when MySpace was popping? Were you like 5?
No, I was older than that. I think I was in middle school, but I never did it because it was like the time of stranger danger, where I remember in my public school, they were like, never put any real information online. They made us do a quiz once in elementary school that was like, what information can you put online? And it was like, no information. The answer was, it was like,
what information can you put online?
They were like,
none.
Different boxes. It was like boxes that you could check off. And it was like your, where you live, your name, your age, activities you do, all this stuff. And you're supposed to check off the ones that you can put online. And I think I just checked off age, because I was like, if I just put on my age and I don't tell them anything about myself, like, that'll be fine. And then they're like, no, you failed. You're wrong. You can't put on any information about yourself. And now, like, what, like 15 years later or whatever, everyone's information is everywhere.
Right.
So Stranger Danger was a big deal when I was a kid. We watched all these videos in like health class about like kids getting kidnapped. And there was this one video we had to watch about this girl who was getting bullied by, she didn't know who, a mysterious person she was IMing with was like taunting her. And at one point was like, I'm outside your house. I'm going to come in and kill you. And you found out.
That was
out,
a video that you watched?
Uh-huh. When did you,
what grade did you watch this video?
Like sixth grade, I think. Huh. And you found out that the person who was sending her these messages was like a mean girl from a school. But then she ran out into the streets to get away from the person who was taunting her and got into a random car. And then it goes, she was never seen again.
What?
I was like,
was that the video?
That was the video.
What was learned there?
Stranger, don't get into strangers' cars and don't bully. Because if you bully someone, they're going to get
two
into
different
a stranger's
videos,
car.
Rachel.
It should have. It didn't make. I remember being like, all the other videos I was like totally down for. I was like, I get it. Don't. That one I was like, this seems unrealistic.
You're it did not hit the mark.
This girl running away from a stranger taunting her, went into a random car, and then that guy ended up kidnapping her. I don't know. But she seemed to live in a pretty safe neighborhood.
Well, today we're going to get into the first movie show of the year.
Yeah, speaking of movies,
we are going to be going over the last good movie that you saw, which you're kind of into now, which you're watching and all that stuff. Indie movies versus mainstream movies, personal all-time faves and recommendations, and favorite actors and directors. But let's start with your New Year's. How was that? Did you do anything crazy, fun, exciting, anything like that?
Well, I worked.
Okay, how was that?
It was fine. I made some good money. But I was also throwing a party.
So what happened? Wait, what?
So my roommate...
Just when I'm about to transition into something else,
my roommates
me back
were
in.
Throwing a party, and I was like in on the party, but I had
so
to
you
work.
You planned the party, but you didn't go.
Right.
You didn't
no,
attend
I did.
It, clearly.
So I got out of work at 11:45.
Boo.
Raced home with a bottle of champagne and like a bunch of New Year's...
How close do you work? To
like
your
5
house.
5 minutes. From
okay,
me.
So then
yeah.
You were there to pop the champagne.
I got back to my house at 11:55, holding a bottle of champagne and a bunch of like 2019 New Year's glasses and hats and stuff that I stole from work. And I was parking. So my street is weird because I live on like it's a very, very friendly street. And it's in a,
you say very friendly street.
Yeah, it's very safe. It's
okay. So not the street, but the people who live on it are very friendly.
Some of them are. So it's in the gayborhood, which is in Midtown Atlanta.
Okay.
And half of the street is like older gay men who've been together for
you say
like
gayborhood?
Yeah, that's what it's called, the gayborhood.
Wow.
It's mostly gay men. But okay. Half of my street is like older gay men families and then a couple of young people that are like my age who kind of throw parties. So my whole street was like there was no parking because we only have street parking.
Okay.
And there was no parking except for next to a fire. What do they call it?
Hydrant.
Fire hydrant. Mm. But I was like, it's 11:55 at night. No one's going to be going around giving tickets until tomorrow morning. I can move my car before then. and I was trying to parallel park and I suck at parallel parking. So I parallel park like right in front of my neighbor's house who lives next to me. And there's a bunch of people on their porch. And I was like, oh, I guess she's throwing a party and like didn't invite us. And
of course,
and they're all watching me try to parallel park terribly next to a fire hydrant. And I get out and I'm like running to my house and they're calling my name. And I was like, oh, I guess that's my neighbor, whatever. And then I hear my roommates and I'm like, oh, that's weird that they're hanging out on the porch of these other neighbors' house. What had happened was we found out that our neighbor was throwing a party. They had invited us that day, apparently, but I wasn't home. And we sort of merged the parties.
Yeah, so you can have a bigger party, of course.
Right, at their house.
No doubt.
So I went over to their porch and we hung out there. And we
did you get out in time to pop the bottle?
We should,
you should have just left your car running in the middle of the street, ran out.
You're right.
To the popped your bottle, then parked
watch
your car.
Watch my car get stolen.
Well, I had the same situation. I had to work on New Year's, but it ended up being pretty good because it was a wedding at my, you know, I work in events. So it ended up being a wedding and it ended up being very good though, Rach, because randomly, random fact, first of all, the Secretary of State was there like randomly and the security was insane. So it was Mike Pompeo, for people who don't know who Secretary of State is. I know that young people aren't concerned about that stuff. But
across the board, he
was
there.
And then that was a very, but it was very random though, because the couple was young. It was a young couple, but you know, he was there and that was a big deal made of it because of all the security and stuff like that. But it ended up being like 230 people. They had a 16-piece live band.
Oh, damn.
And it ended up being crazy. Like like you go into that thinking like, hey, I gotta work, it's gonna kinda suck on New Year's. But it ended up being probably a crazier New Year's party than I could have ever kind of thrown. Yeah.
So this one guy at my party got really drunk and then ran down the street. And
how many people were at your party? Well, it was two parties, right?
I don't know because, well,
what was the estimate for your own? Like how many people do you think were going
to
be there?
Not many people. So I went back to my house to go change and my one roommate was sitting there playing FIFA with like four other guys. And I was like, this is what you're doing on midnight? Like that's lame. We were having a party next door.
It was New Year's gaming. I can see no better way to ring in a New Year than a great game of FIFA.
I live with too many boys. But this one guy got really drunk and ran down the street and then went to another party and started hanging out with them. And they were all really drunk. And then basically by like, the party kind of ended early by like, I don't know, 1:30-ish. People were kind of leaving and our neighbor was like, yeah, I think people are going home. So we went back to our place and we kind of kept going. But then all my friends from work showed up at 2 a.m. and they were all wasted because they've been drinking champagne at work.
Okay.
And the party went on with like maybe like 10 of us till 6 a.m. Because then the valet guys from work also came at like 3.
Okay.
So we kept going until 6 a.m.
So y'all were like, but it's like 10 people. It's like a gathering. It's not like, okay.
No, it was a kind of kickback.
Cool. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into some of the movies that we're watching here and what were. So I guess we can do this. Like, what are the good movies that you, the great movies that you saw in 2018? Did you watch any movies in 2018?
I watched a ton of movies.
All right, so what are the good ones that you watch?
Okay, well, the first one I'm talking about is A Star Is Born, because that's like the big one that's everyone's talking about all the
Oscars. The premise of that movie didn't interest me. It only interests me to watch it because I like watching good movies. Sometimes I'll watch, like I did that with Crazy Rich Asians. Like, I'll watch a good movie, a critically acclaimed or what's perceived to be a good movie, even if it's out of my wheelhouse as far as genre is concerned. Star is Born, that's one with Lady Gaga, right? And Bradley Cooper. So that one kind of falls outside of what I'm interested in, but I probably will watch it one day.
Honestly, I'm trying to think of a movie that I saw this year that I was like really
So let's talk about Star is Born though. Like what did you, so you watched it and you liked it.
Here's what I'll say. I liked it. I didn't love it. Everyone that I know is like completely obsessed with it. And I think everyone in it did a really good job. Lady Gaga's going to win the Oscar. I have no.
You think so?
Oh, I could bet you a lot of money she's going to win the Oscar.
Really?
Because her performance was great and she's not an actor. She's not typically an actor, so people.
But
are
she's
like
playing a musician,
away.
Right?
Yeah, but it's still.
Different. I mean, that's not necessarily
a
super far stretch.
No, but it's a lot of emotion. Like she has, like the character's very emotional. And okay. She did a good job. I think Bradley Cooper, because everyone's talking about that movie being like, "Oh, Lady Gaga," and I was like,
"Did he direct it or did he?"
He directed it, and his performance in it is so fucking good. That was really what blew me away. Like Lady Gaga
Bradley
was
Cooper's
great.
a good actor, though.
Yeah, but I think he did something that we didn't expect from. Nobody knew he could sing, and then his acting in it was he transformed. He looked so different than we had ever seen him before, and he played this totally different character. And he did such a great job, and he directed the movie. Like he really blew me away. The biggest takeaway I had from that movie was how great Bradley Cooper was. Lady Gaga did amazing, and she's going to win the Oscar. But she wasn't what stuck out for me. From the movie. That being said, I thought the movie was a little bit, like, I could see the ending coming. Like, it was a little predictable. It didn't do anything, like, I like movies that do things that are, like, really original and you don't see coming and creative. And The Star is Born was, like, really good. It was a well-done movie.
So what's a well-done movie in Rachel's world? Like, cinematography, acting, pace, story?
Yeah, all of that. Okay. I couldn't pick out something and tell you, like, I didn't like it because of this.
Okay.
Like, it did everything that it did really well. It just wasn't, I don't know, it was a little predictable. And I prefer movies that are a bit more original. To be fair, it's a third remake of a movie that we've all seen. And the ending is the same as all the other endings of the other movies.
What do you mean third remake?
This is the third time they've remade A Star is Born.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So there's been, this is the literal third iteration of the movie.
They did one with Barbara Streisand. And then I think there was another one that actually won an Oscar before that.
So the Barbara Streisand one was the last one though.
Yes. But that one didn't do as well.
But it wasn't the first one.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
This is the third iteration of it.
Okay.
And so I knew the ending, what it was, and I knew that it was coming. But it also...
So, like, have you seen the second one?
No, I haven't seen the other ones.
Okay.
But it's... I don't know. It's sort of like you see a story... Like, I've seen this story be told before.
It's like the Romeo and Juliet story. It's told in several different iterations over and over again.
Like, a story of someone who becomes famous and then fame sort of corrupts them or corrupts their relationship. It's sort of the idea that, like, fame is what we're after. And then once you get it, it's like, well, why isn't everything great?
Yeah, because, like, it tends to destroy organic relationships.
Right, which is sort of the premise. The premise is that there's this couple that fall in love and then she gets really famous and he's famous but not as famous, and that fucks up their relationship and he's an alcoholic. And then, I mean, spoiler alert.
Why did you watch it? All right, so now I have to edit that part
out. You'll literally see it. You'll see the movie and be like, yeah, he's going to kill
himself. I want to do the movie with no spoilers, because the thing is, I hate spoilers.
I love spoilers.
I'm going to edit that out anyway. Don't worry about that. So another thing
is... Isn't that
is,
weird that I love spoilers?
No, yeah, a little bit. What's the point of watching a movie?
I know movies. I know what's going to happen at the end of the movie 9 out of 10 times, because a good director foreshadows the end of the movie throughout the film. And as a big movie goer, I always pick up on it.
I'm a gamer. So in gamer, we hate spoilers. It's like, if you have a spoiler in your gamer, and then it's kind of like you will be the bane of everybody's existence.
You know, I told my friend Aiden I like spoilers, and he said, you're a sociopath. And I was like,
I think a little bit. Like, I don't feel like that's super far off the mark if you love spoilers.
Well, okay. I like knowing what's going to happen and then seeing, because most of the time I figure it out anyway. So
I do agree with that. You kind of,
like,
figure it out.
It's like when you see and watch a movie that has, like, a big twist in it, and then you watch it the second time and you, like, see all the little spots where it's like, oh, they were hinting at it. I just see that the first time around.
Okay.
Like, Gone Girl. Someone gave away the spoilers for Gone Girl. So I watched it being like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And then picking
like
up on all
that. Man, I hate
spoilers.
It.
Always like, give me
like when I'm watching stuff,
I
like when
spoilers.
I'm watching shows and people do rest in peace so and so online, I'm like, I hate you.
Well, do you know that they've done studies, and the studies show that knowing a spoiler to a movie doesn't make you enjoy it any less?
Mm.
They've done studies.
Yeah, I do love studies though.
I love a good study.
I love a good study. But so when you're all right. So then, what other movies were you into?
I watched The Favorite recently with Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone, and it was really good.
So it's called The Favorite.
The Favorite. It's about,
okay, Emma Stone and who'd you say?
Rachel Weisz.
Okay.
And it was really good. I hated the ending though.
So that was 2000. All right. So this is recent. This is all like
last month or so. Two months.
All right.
Well, The Star is Born came out a couple months ago, but it was in theaters for a long time and everybody was talking about it for a long time. But The Favorite,
you mean?
I knew it was coming out and I was like waiting for it.
So The Favorite is what you're talking about was in theaters for a long time.
No,
or Star is Born.
The Favorite came out recently, is still in theaters.
Okay.
And they're talking about Oscars for that too.
This is early 2019. This is literally
Out in late 2018.
Late 2018. Okay. Yeah.
It's all the movies that are like Oscar. Right now, it's a big time for Oscar.
No doubt. Movies. This is kind of where I tend to binge movies myself. Yeah.
But I would say it was a little bit boring, a little bit slow at points. And it went on a little bit too long, but it was really original, far more original than like a lot of other movies I'd seen. And I really liked it up until the end. The ending, which you have to see it and see like the very last shot of the movie.
So you're not going to spoil that for me.
No, I won't spoil it because
thank goodness.
It's very odd to explain. It's a very weird way to end a movie.
Okay.
And I really didn't like it. And in my head, I can tell you what would have made it a good movie. What would have made it a good ending. I was like, I watched it with my roommate, Christian. And I literally was going off about how much I hated the ending afterwards. And I was like, this is how they should have ended it. They should have, you know, cut to a close up of this actor looking at this character. And then they look at each other.
Are you going to remake it?
Maybe I'll remake that last scene so that I can enjoy it. Because I know exactly how I wanted it to end.
Okay.
And they didn't do it that way. And I was upset about that.
So what are you? Okay, so I'm going to go into my top few, but I want to at least get three from you.
Sure.
So you said Star is Born, The Favorite.
Okay, I'm talking about other movies that I see. I'll go a little bit more indie.
Just something that you just like. Like
these
you
are all just movies, yeah. Well, I'm thinking about the movies I recently saw. And I saw, I'll give you two. One of them is called, what is it called? Jesus. Beach Rats came out.
Beach Rats.
Okay. Indie film came out like 2 years ago.
But you recently just saw it.
Yeah. The director is Eliza Hittman, who's this really up and coming independent director who I've auditioned for.
Okay.
Never get called back.
All right.
I'm not mad. I'm not bitter. But the movie was really interesting. I didn't say I loved it, but I definitely, it was about this kid growing up. It's like how he spends his summer. He lives in Brooklyn and all of his friends are like kind of thugs. And he's gay and closeted and like has a girlfriend.
So what was it Moonlight that came out?
I actually haven't seen that one, but I heard it's incredible.
Okay. It's going to be a very short show for you, Rachel. Sorry. I mean, spoilers, not seeing Moonlight.
I'm sorry. I know it's such a big deal. I know. If it helps, okay. I was really happy that Moonlight won the Oscar and not La La Land, even though I really liked La La Land. Moonlight needed it more than La La Land.
Okay.
The movie about gay people of color needed it more than this movie about white people singing and dancing in LA.
I mean, you know.
It was more important that Moonlight won, and I'm very happy Moonlight won.
So what's your other indie you said? You said Beach Rats, and then what's the second one?
This one's real niche. All right. So I'm really going to – this is so embarrassing. Okay. Have you heard of Ali and AJ, the band? They sing Potential Breakup Song. They were, like, really big in the 2000s. They were, like, these Disney Channel girls who were sisters.
Okay. So let's recap here, Rachel. you've been doing this show for a while.
I know.
You asked me, have I heard of and AJ? Okay.
Potential Breakup Song was a really
potential
big
breakup
song.
Songs big from Disney. Would you say?
Okay. If I played you Potential Breakup Song, you've definitely heard it. It was a big deal in like 2008, but you've heard it. It was on the radio. It was everywhere.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's these two. It's okay. So then there's this movie that they star in that one of the girls, now they're older. They're not Disney Channel stars anymore. They're actually working actors.
Okay.
And musicians. Mm. And they wrote and starred in this movie called Weep Away for Now, where they play versions of themselves, like living in LA. And it's really, really, really good. Like, I think even you would like it. It's funny. It's a little raunchy. It's
so
smart.
What's the name? It's a movie?
Yeah, it's called
And Weep, what's the name of it?
It's called Weep Away for Now. And nobody's
seen
Weep
it. Away from Now. So you got Beach Rats and Weep Away from Now.
Now for
Weep
now.
Away
Weep
for
Away
now.
For Now.
Weep Away for Now.
Yeah.
Is that starring Ali and AJ?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're like they're
what
not
year
like
did
Disney
that come out,
It came out like 2014, 15.
But you just saw it recently.
Yeah. And I've watched it like six times since I first saw
recently.
It.
Recently.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. You can watch it for free.
Hmm.
I want you to watch it. No, I really want you to watch it and let me know what you think of it. I think you'll like it. It's really smart and funny.
Okay. I mean,
and it's really
I'm a very open-minded guy, so
I'm telling you, it's really, really good. It's like the thing is people don't take it seriously because they're these two like girls who started in Disney Channel and like people are like, oh, what do they have to offer? And the movie is so fucking good. It's like raw and honest and like feel and like maybe it's because I have a relationship with my sister that's sort of similar, but
I noticed. I'm seeing a pattern here. Get parent
and I love
trap,
my sister.
And then you're. I mean, I'm seeing a pattern of you loving your family.
Well,
no, I
my
mean,
sister.
I mean, yeah, the Parent Trap, right?
Well, Parent Trap's a great movie. I'm telling you, ask anybody my age what their favorite movie is. Okay. That is a girl, and I think 8 out of 10 times she'll say Parent Trap.
Okay.
That movie's really good, and we grew up on it, you know.
So let's recap real quick. Star is Born, which you've seen recently. Yeah. Star is Born.
These are all movies I've seen. I watched Two Weeks Away
the
from Now
one after
again
Star is
the
Born?
Other day. The Favorite.
The Favorite. Okay. Beach Rats.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Beach Rats and
Weep Away for Now.
Weep Away from Now. So Beach Rats and Weep Away from Now.
For Now.
Weep Away for Now.
If you can't even get the name right, you're never going to watch the movie.
Right. I'll just type in Weep Away. I feel like it auto-populate the rest of it.
Well, it's one word. It's like a name of a street.
Okay. Weep Away for Now. And so that movie and Beach Rats are more on the indie tip. And also they're movies that you've seen recently, but they didn't necessarily come out recently.
Yeah.
Right. The Favorite and A Star Is Born are a little more recent.
Yeah.
Right?
Those are like the movies that will be very much talked about during Oscar season.
Do you feel like The Favorite would be Oscar consideration?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. So, what I have seen, lately, I think we were talking about this before the show, is, the last movie that I saw was Roma.
Mm-hmm. And, I heard really good things about it. I haven't seen it yet.
The thing is about Roma is it's on Netflix. It's a good mm-hmm. movie.
Well, it's on Netflix, but it's also in theaters. They're doing,
is it really?
Yeah.
So Netflix has been doing that so they can get those movies consideration.
Yeah.
So I feel like you have to pay attention to that movie because it's subtitled. Like mm-hmm. you know, me and watching movies and shows, sometimes I have the worst attention span when I'm watching them. So I might be watching them on my tablet, doing something else on my phone or something.
Most of the time
like,
when I watch a movie, especially at home, I'm like doing a puzzle. I'm doing something else also.
Right. So the movie's just on.
It's hard to like, unless you're in a theater, although if you're in a theater, you're like eating popcorn. So you're doing something else.
Right.
It's hard to just sit and watch something. We're so fidgety.
Well, you know, it's got subtitles, so you have to kind of
have to pay attention.
You have to pay attention, right? Because if you look down, you look up, it'll be a scene. And you can kind of have context to the scene, of course, mm-hmm. but you need to have you need to have subtitles. So it's definitely a movie I would recommend watching. It's a movie that's in black and white. It's set in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I think it's set in Mexico in the 70s. I also watch, I had a busy movie night yesterday. I watched that. And then I also watched Black Klansman. Which
I liked
is interesting.
Black Klansman. It was funny.
Interesting movie. I think that's a Spike Lee.
Didn't
movie?
The end? It was Spike Lee. Didn't the end kind of fuck you up?
A little. And at the end, I'm just kind of like, you know. But due to they tackle serious subjects with comedy.
Yeah.
And I like the actors and actresses in the mm-hmm. movie. So
the funny thing is, it's like a really funny movie that you watch it and you're like, oh damn, this is funny. It's based off a true story. And then the last couple minutes, the clips they show of
the march in Charlottesville, it's very sobering.
Die. It's so sobering.
Very sobering moment. And you're like, I don't know.
The fuck did you do this to me?
So right,
you're
a little bit.
I watched the movie. I laughed the whole time. The last 4 minutes happened and I walked out of the theater and I went with my roommate, Nilton, and I was like, quiet. And he'd never seen me so quiet. And he was like, are you okay? And I just went, this world is unsafe.
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's some, so definitely I liked the fact that Harry Belafonte was in it, because that's Harry Belafonte being in movies like that adds a sense of authenticity mm-hmm. to that subject matter. John David Washington did a great job, and I really love, I'm a big fan of Adam Driver, no matter.
I'm
a fan of Adam Driver because of The Range, you know, saw him in Girls and then he's in those Star Wars movies, Kylo Ren, and then seeing him in this was also great. So I watched that. And I watched Leave No Trace yesterday.
Yeah, that's on my list of things to watch.
I watched Leave No Trace yesterday, and I kind of left that movie thinking like, watching that movie and being kind of just like, okay.
Well, Leave No Trace is by the same director who directed Jennifer Lawrence in, what was that movie, the name of the movie that she did? Crap.
Not the one with Bradley Cooper.
No. This was before Hunger Games. This is the movie that like put her on the map.
Before Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm. It was an indie film.
So how
old, like,
she must, I mean,
she
how
like
old
15
is she? Okay, yeah, there we go. She
must be young, very young. Damn it, I gotta look it up. This is so bad. I know.
We need facts on these shows.
Winter's Bone. I just remembered it.
What is it called?
Winter's Bone.
Winter's Bone. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the same director who did Leave No Trace.
Who did? Yeah. And I think this is the first big movie she's done since Winter's Bone.
Okay.
So it's been 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So also, I did. I also watched recently, Eighth Grade.
I really liked Eighth Grade. It was,
did you
well,
like it a lot?
As a middle school girl, you know.
I feel, you know what, too? Not to interrupt you, but we.
Do it.
So we're going to do another show. We're going to do another show. Mm-hmm. And then the next show that we're going to be doing, just a little preview, is going to be on the psychology of female friendships, male friendships, and cliques and stuff of that nature. And I feel like Eighth Grade's a great kind of lead into that.
So I watched Eighth Grade, and then on New Year's, my sister, or maybe it was Christmas, my sister was texting me. She was with my aunt and uncle, and she was watching Eighth Grade with them. And she texted me, and she was like, I can't relate to this movie at all. And I was like, that's because you had like a great time in middle school. You were like confident in yourself, and you had friends, and you like had a really smooth puberty. Like, of course you can't relate to it. Like, I relate to it very strongly because I went through a lot of the same things that she, it was very cringy. like you watch it and it's like, it makes you feel something. It makes you feel, made me feel.
So you really liked Eighth Grade a lot. I didn't dislike it.
I don't think it's about like, I think sometimes a movie is a movie and sometimes a movie is a piece of art. The difference is a piece of art makes you feel something. And whether or not you enjoy that feeling, if it made you feel something, then it did its job. Like, do you know Mother with Jennifer Lawrence? It was this big deal when it came out and everybody hated it.
I didn't watch it.
I'm not surprised. But I, as a movie, I didn't like it. I didn't like it as a movie. I didn't feel like it was, it felt like three different movies. But as a piece of art, if a piece of art is meant to make you feel something, that movie made me feel everything it was supposed to make me feel. Like.
So you left watching Eighth Grade and be like, all right, that was a really great movie.
I think it was a really great piece of art.
Okay. So I really liked the movie. Changing pace here. Mm-hmm. I know that you are very much into indie movies.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a good segue into the next, our next topic as far as indie movies versus mainstream movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Eighth Grade, would you put that in an indie movie?
Yeah, for
category?
Sure. Definitely indie film.
Did it have
an
a
indie
release?
Film
did
anything,
it get released?
Yeah. I saw it in theaters.
Okay.
I live across the street from an indie theater, which I love. This favorite thing about where I live. And so I see indie films.
You said it's in Midtown. You
know
the name
of
the theater?
Called Midtown Art Cinema.
Midtown Art Cinema?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, Barb from Stranger Things used to work there.
Get out of here.
I never was there when she worked there, but a long time ago, yeah.
Did you, there was like a whole thing for Barb, you know, when she disappeared.
Right.
People were like, where is Barb?
Where everyone was. Okay, I didn't really agree with it because I was like, yeah, Barb was like, fine. We saw like 10 minutes of her. Calm down.
It's like, kind of like, it's kind of like, though, that's why you want more.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I wonder where Barb was at for the longest. I mean,
well,
I didn't do any campaigns for it, but I was like, you know, whatever.
But yeah, no, definitely an indie film. An indie film. People think that like, so one of the greatest indie films of all time, widely considered, is called Tangerine.
Mm.
I didn't like it, but I also watched. It's a very inappropriate movie, and I watched it with my family on Thanksgiving, which is not what I would recommend because it's about prostitutes and there's like blowjob scenes and I had to sit next to my mom and it was very uncomfortable. But the reason that it's considered a huge deal is because it was made on a phone. Like they shot it on an iPhone.
Okay.
But so that, and like, that was the first time.
The Tangerine.
Yeah. And that was the first time that had ever been done. So it's considered like this big deal. But to be fair, that movie still cost $100,000. My dad's always like, why don't you just make a movie on your phone like they did? My dad loved Tangerine. And he was like, why don't you just make a movie on your own? And I'm like, because it still cost them $100,000. Give me $100,000 and I will make a movie on my phone.
So when an indie film for the audience is just a film that is not a major studio release.
Yeah, and usually is made for less money. But in the film industry, that could still mean like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So I see a good parallel here, Rachel, between people, because there's some people who really like indie mm-hmm. films, right? So I see a good parallel here with hip hop, especially. So mm-hmm. there's some hip hop people who are just they're called backpackers. They mm-hmm. like indie backpack underground hip hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are kind of, they have like adverse reaction to mainstream,
right?
To mainstream hip hop, you know.
What's his name? Oh God, Chance the Rapper, isn't mm-hmm. he? Like he doesn't.
So
work,
so
he does not
I think Chance the Rapper is a great example in a sense of this definition. And this doesn't just happen in rap; it happens in bands mm-hmm. and stuff. And I used to see this a lot when in rock bands and indie bands and
they
stuff
don't
like that.
Sign up with the man.
Well, what happens is you have a fan base, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, let's say Rachel likes Chance the Rapper, likes one of these indie bands, right? And she really likes them while they're indie. But when they hit it big, they sell out. They just sold out because they're literally selling out. Like they've become popular. And sometimes they don't like them any longer.
That's how people feel about the Duplass brothers, because they did a lot of...
The Duplass brothers.
Yeah, they did a lot of independent films that were like really weird. And
what are their mainstream films?
Well, they did this show on HBO.
What's the show?
I forgot what it was called. It wasn't very good. That's the thing. The show sucked and people, and it got canceled.
Well, now I
got to
look them up. You said the Duplass brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you know how to spell that?
Duplass. Duplass.
Duplass brothers.
They did this TV show on HBO that people were like, it's just white people, middle-aged white people having like an emotional crisis. We don't need to see more of that.
Okay. Was that Togetherness?
Togetherness. Yeah.
Okay.
I think people feel like they sold out a little bit.
So what was the rest of like, I feel like, that's such a hard situation because a lot of times
your goal
is to be successful, right?
Well, it's interesting because like, you know, Girls was Lena Dunham started off as this independent filmmaker. She made this movie called Tiny Furniture, which was made for what is considered to be like, I've never heard of a movie being made for such a small budget.
It was called Tiny Furniture.
It was very similar to Girls. It had a very similar theme. And like, it was about a girl who was out of college and played by Lena Dunham and like just kind of fucks around for a while, doesn't know what to do. That's literally the premise. And it was made for $64,000, which is like the cheapest I've ever heard of a movie being made. And it was made that cheap because she like starred her friends in it. So she didn't pay the actors. And she made it super cheap. And it just takes place in like her parents' house. And, you know, she paid for it out of her own money. She didn't fundraise, but she's also was born pretty wealthy. So it's nice when you can do that.
Right. No doubt.
Nothing wrong with that, but it's nice when you have that
it's
money.
Not, it's not exactly the same as bootstrapping it. Let's just say that.
And that movie was super indie. And then literally, that's like the first real thing she ever made. I think she made a couple shorts in college. And then one other short when she graduated, if she graduated, she made this film. It was a big Sundance hit, which was like unheard of, not unheard of, but like very rare because there was nobody famous in it. And she was this unknown director. And then Judd Apatow saw it. And emailed her and was like, let's get you a TV show. And then signed her with HBO.
So Apatow saw what? Girls. Which film did he see? Tiny Furniture. Okay. And then they did Girls after that.
And when Girls was created, again, it was these, to be fair, every single actor in Girls, the main four girls, are all children of famous people.
No doubt.
So it's like, people are like these unknown actors. And I'm like,
it's a little different. The path is a little different. Right. Absolutely.
But it's not like these girls picked up off the street. Like, but that movie and that TV show was huge and it was on HBO. It wasn't on some like little network. It was on a big network, but it was something we had never seen before. It was the most original thing people had seen in years. And the audience for it was so wide. It was like people my age, my parents loved it. And they're in their like 50s and 60s. To be fair, my dad really likes it. My dad's like 65 years old.
And he was really a fan of Girls?
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to be a fan, but I liked the show.
People don't, I'm telling you. But then there was a whole issue of like, you know, not enough diversity on it, which was
It had a lot of issues, you know. The diversity was one. Yeah. The seemingly being able to live in New York casually while not holding down a real job.
Right. It depicted a very like small fraction of the United
States.
But you know what? Say what you want about it. Nothing like it had ever been seen before. And that's... You can't take that away from someone.
So are you a person that likes indie films versus versus mainstream films? Are you a movie snob?
I don't.
Do you look at films and you're like, hey, the only way it can be Oscar nominated is if it was in a different language and if it was shot a certain kind of way. And so you're mainstream. So you would never, you're mainstream, like your superhero movies, your big budget blockbuster movies are automatic. Because it seems like sometimes there's a separation between Oscar consideration for a blockbuster movie, which almost seems harder to get than your indie niche movie.
Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm probably going to sound like a snob when I'm saying it.
Go for it.
But the reason that big studio productions don't get nominated for a lot of awards is because there's no artistry. Like a Marvel movie, they're all the same. I find Marvel movies to be very boring because I'm somebody who what I like to watch in a movie is character development and like an interesting storyline. And Marvel movies, I literally am always bored in them because they don't have enough storyline going on and it's just action sequences. I saw Venom recently.
Oh, wait.
I liked Venom.
Let's interject here. I have to because you've walked into my wheelhouse here.
Okay.
With Marvel movies.
You can take me outside and fight.
No, we're not going to fight. I'm a very nonviolent person. Okay. However, I do want to fight because of that comment.
I know. People don't like that.
Now,
I say that.
What has happened here is you've just kind of like generalized. And then you brought up Venom, which sucked. So it's like
I thought it had more storyline.
Then you brought up like the worst of the worst of the superhero
Venom,
movies.
And then the moment there was an action sequence, I almost fell asleep.
Well, basically what you've done is you've said that you don't like action sequences in movies. So that's pretty much going to eliminate Marvel movies in general. However, I feel like they're more nuanced depending on the Marvel movie you're talking about.
You know what? Not always. I liked, what was the movie? With Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt, The Edge of Tomorrow. I love that movie.
What does that have to do with being a Marvel movie?
Not that it's not, but it's an action movie. There's a lot of action in it,
and
I liked it.
Did you see Mission Impossible Fallout?
No.
So that's a good movie. Okay. It's a good movie. And
I don't know, because people, the movies that people tell me are good, everyone like Black Panther, everybody was like, no, it's not like most Marvel movies.
Well, Black Panther was a good, Black Panther was a good movie. That's because it, because Black Panther is not like all Marvel movies. So what Marvel movies have turned into now versus what they were in the origin is they've turned into more.
You're really passionate about this.
Yeah, because they've turned into more like a more nuanced situation.
I've never seen this side of you before.
Well, the thing is that Marvel, Marvel movies, Rach, they're not all the same. It's kind of like reading a book by a certain author or a company that puts out books, and then they might have the same overall theme, but they're very different books on their own. So if you're looking at Marvel movies, like take a regular Thor, but then you look at, let's say Thor, the first Thor, and you look at Thor Ragnarok.
Once Natalie Portman left Thor, I was like, I'm out. I don't care anymore.
So the and those are like the worst ones. And
yeah, they were really bad. They were so bad. I was like, Natalie, what are you doing?
But then you look at Thor Ragnarok, it's a very different, it's a different movie. It's a different movie. When you look at Black Panther, it's a very different Marvel movie than the other Marvel movies. Spider-Man Homecoming. It's a very
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Very different Marvel movie.
Spider-Man Homecoming had a lot of storyline in it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's Winter Soldier, a very different Marvel movie than the other ones. And that's where Marvel has turned a corner. They're not just making just straight action movies. They're making pieces that would be considered to be different genre pieces under the Marvel umbrella.
What I liked about Spider-Man Homecoming was that it was like a teen comedy, and then you just throw in some action, and like that I'm fine with. But a lot of the other movies are just so action heavy. Like, it wasn't that action heavy because it was so much more focused on being a different genre, which was what I liked about it.
So I feel like Marvel movies as of late are more aware of themselves in that sense. Like they're not just pulling from the same blow up stuff playbook. You know what I mean? Bring out superheroes, save person, bad guy. It's your enemies. Like the thing about Black Panther, what people like, but not necessarily because it had an all minority cast, mostly minority cast, which was also something that was great because they were able to show that you can have a lot of success.
It's the
second highest grossing movie
in the
United States. Right. So that's awesome. But I don't really get into stuff like that. I don't want to necessarily look at things that are outside forces for a movie and say this is what should make a good movie, because the movie should stand, it's still a movie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you put together, have you ever seen with these groups, these super groups, and they'll say it's got this person or this actor mm-hmm. and it equals garbage movie. So when it comes to Black Panther, I was definitely happy that it had a minority director. I was happy that it had an all minority cast, but if the movie was shit, it wouldn't have mattered.
Well, here's the problem. When you have, there's so many people that are lacking what is the word I'm looking for? They don't see themselves in movies. And like, look at, what was it called? The Crazy Rich Asians. Like,
perfect example.
Yeah. This movie was huge. And like, whether or not it was good, it was huge because this is the first time that we're seeing Asian representation in a big blockbuster movie, which is why so many people want to see it. Like, Fresh Off the Boat, another TV show that like, I've seen it. It's not that funny, but you know what? There's a group of people that are represented that don't feel represented. The Goldbergs is this show on ABC that's like, I mean, about a white family, but it's similar to Roseanne in that it's a white middle class family. And it's like funny, but there's nothing great about it. But it's been on the air for 6 seasons because middle class people don't feel represented in media. Like the working class don't feel represented. So they finally see something.
So when you see those premises, does it make you, because I'm not a big fan of like, I'm not just going to see a movie just because it's got a bunch of black people in it. Like I want to see a good movie. Now I do give films props when they're good films. And then they happen to have like, you know what? Who's a good example of that? Shonda Rhimes. You had a Grey's Anatomy and she was a great writer who just wrote good film. She happened to be a black writer who just happened to write good film. And that's what I like to see.
Yeah.
I like to look at a film, see, man, this is a great film. And then I'm proud, of course, that, you know, a person of color is in it. But I don't necessarily judge it one way or the other based on that.
Well, that's a big problem that's in specifically the LGBTQT film. Like, it's a big issue with that because there's all these indie films that come out about like gay women or gay men. And the thing is that most of them are not that good. They're really not. The storyline, the writing is so bad, but the LGBTQT community is so eager for representation.
No doubt.
That they're like, okay.
At least it's something.
There's a lot of shows. For example, Supergirl on CW.
Mm.
The first season was terrible and like, nobody watched it.
Mm.
Second season, they throw in a gay relationship. suddenly they have all this viewership because it doesn't matter how bad the show is. If there is gay representation, the fans will show up because they want to see themselves, even if it's not a good show. And then they'll put it up in the air and be like, this is incredible, even if it's not, because there's such little representation that they're like, honestly, you want to get a bigger fan base? Throw in some gay characters.
Wow. Well, yeah. I feel like
And that show's been on for like 4 or 5 seasons now. And I remember I watched a couple episodes in the first season. And I was like, this show is terrible. I hate watched it. That's how bad it was.
Do you hate watch movies?
No, I literally only watch.
Well, clearly you hate watch Marvel movies.
No, I don't. I literally see them hoping to give it a chance. And well, I'm always,
you know, the thing is that made Black Panther so popular too, is that and I feel like this good movies do this, mm-hmm. and not just Black Panther, but good movies do this. They have they make things gray. They don't make things black and white. So you have a villain, mm-hmm. and a villain in these movies are more nuanced. Your villain, yeah. you can relate to with the villain.
Yeah. His name Kilgrave?
Yeah.
He was a good villain.
You can look at that. And Michael B. Jordan did a great job playing him. So when you're looking at this, villains in movies, and they make the villain where you can see some aspect of mm-hmm. their plight, of their cause, what they're doing, I feel like it makes a well-rounded movie. And Black Panther did a great job of that, and then just have a villain that was just bad for being bad. Like, I want to take over every world. I want to just take over the world just because type of situation, and kill everybody. And then I feel like when you make those more nuanced characters, which Marvel has made strides in trying to do in mm-hmm. later movies.
Well, look at Loki. Like, Loki is a pretty, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah,
he's gone from
character.
Good guy to bad guy in like 3 different movies.
Yeah, that's kind of how he is. Very represented, well represented there, like he is in a comic. So let's go into some of your personal all-time favorites. And I think we discussed this before the show. It's Parent Trap, and we can just end it there, right? Is there any reason to discuss this any further?
I have a bunch of different favorites. Parent Trap is like numero uno.
Is that's your all-time number one, the Lindsay Lohan version?
Yeah, but God, don't give me that other version.
Did you watch the other one? You watched the older one before? You never even seen it.
I don't want to.
Goodness gracious.
I have a 1994 96.
So what makes Parent Trap? I know we've discussed this before, but let's briefly talk about what makes Parent Trap. Once again, your favorite, and it would top your recommendation list too. Like, you would recommend this to everybody.
I would feel embarrassed telling people to watch it, but yeah, I'm telling you, if you ask any girl,
be true to yourself, Rachel,
any girl
and recommend
around
it.
My age, what her favorite movie was growing up, she will probably say Parent Trap.
Would she?
It's good. It's smart.
I'm going to ask
it's
a lot of girls
fun.
Around your age.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Go hang out with more girls.
Let's hang out with a lot of 23-year-olds and see what I'm missing.
Yeah. It's all
group
parent trap
watch sessions.
Yeah. It's
when's the
smart.
Last time you saw it, Rich?
I watch it.
Did you watch it at holidays?
It's always on. No, I didn't watch it this year.
Did I tell you my grandmother was watching it?
It's a great movie. It's always on ABC Family. Always on ABC Family.
She's watching it at holidays.
ABC Family like really, really went into like, they knew what the age range was of the people that were watching it. And they know that like the girls that were like 17 or whatever and watching the shows that were on like at that point will still watch the movies that they put on. That's why every like weekend they play Miss Congeniality or Parent Trap or like 27 Dresses, movies that people my age, like especially women my age, will watch because they know that we'll always watch it again and again. Or The Proposal, like it's always on, well, Freeform. It's called Freeform now, but it's always on ABC Family.
Oh,
Harry Potter movies.
Not
always.
A fan of that channel.
Why would you be? You're not.
I'm not the demo. I'm completely outside. You know, have you ever watched something and realized you're completely out of the demo?
Yeah.
That's what happens when I watch Freeform. I realize like this is not the demo for me.
But okay, other movies. Miss Congeniality.
So Miss Congeniality, Parent Trap, Miss Congeniality. Yeah. Those are your 1 and 2s. I don't really have 1 and 2s myself.
Those are like 1 and 2. Juno is an incredible movie.
Incredible.
To this day, still.
I would definitely recommend Juno. Awesome.
Juno's a great movie. It's what I think it's to this day the best screenplay I've ever read.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You read the
so
screenplay.
Funny. I've read the screenplay when I was like first like trying to be a writer kind of. It was what I studied off of.
You studied Juno. Who wrote the screenplay?
Diablo Cody.
Okay.
Which is the best screenplay she's ever written. She's written a couple movies since then. She wrote Tully, which was recent, which was pretty good. She wrote Jennifer's Body, which is that movie where Megan Fox and what's her name? The blonde girl, Amanda Seyfried. Where they like make out, and it's a very, the funny thing is the movie is actually a really smart movie, but it was ahead of its time.
Okay.
It was too ahead of its time that when it came out,
when did it come out?
A couple of years after Juno. So 2010.
Really? Was Juno that early?
Juno was like 2008.
Really?
2007 actually.
Okay. So it came out 2010. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
All right.
And the funny thing is that people really wrote Jennifer's Body off. because it was like, it's just a movie pandering to like boys about like two hot girls making out. And the thing is, like, it's actually so much deeper and more than that. But all anybody could see, especially, it's really about how we mistreated Megan Fox as a society, because all we saw was like a hot woman. And we were like,
did we,
she
did
offers,
we mistreat
we
Megan
really
Fox
did.
As
no, we
a,
really
a,
did.
Stop it, Rachel.
No,
stop
I'm telling
it.
You, there's articles
I feel like
about
that's
this.
So, such like
there's
first world
feminist
problems.
Feminist articles about this.
How was she mistreated as a society?
Because we literally were like, you're hot. You offer nothing more than that. And then we, and
I mean,
then when she, and
well,
then
I
when
feel
she
like
talked
like
about
Halle
it,
Berry, Jennifer Lawrence, all these people. There's a lot of very attractive mm-hmm. actresses and actors, and no, I do feel like they
both,
get
both of them have won Oscars. We accept
yeah,
that they're talented
because they,
actors.
Well,
Megan Fox.
Do you feel like maybe they're just more talented than Megan Fox? No. And this is not a knock. By the way, this is I'm not a
you
fan
really
of Megan
hate
Fox.
Megan Fox.
This is no, not a knock, problem. Rachel, on Megan Fox. I don't know enough about her to knock her one way
so
or the other.
So Transformers was literally a role where all she had to do was be the hot chick.
She left that because
she
of
left that.
That
because they mistreated
right.
her.
Right. And I do remember that.
And the problem was that she would like afterwards talk shit about how terrible Transformer was. And everybody was like, why are you, you know, biting at the hand that feeds you? And it was like, no, look at that movie. All they,
I don't feel
they
like that's
all
appropriate.
All the movie
that's not professional.
Ever treated her did was like, you know, pan down to her like stomach when she's wearing like a, basically a bra. Like that was, she, all she was supposed to be in that movie was like a hot piece of ass. And then nobody ever took her seriously again.
Maybe that's how you start. And then you take yourself seriously by choosing different scripts, choosing
people,
different stories, having your agent choose stories that you feel like are going to be able to showcase.
She wasn't offered those stories. She wasn't offered those stories. All she was offered was like hot role after hot role after hot role. And that's all we wanted to see about her.
Well, aren't
and
there a lot
like,
of actors who have certain stereotypes, Rachel? They're typecast and then they break out of it eventually.
Yeah, but that's assuming that somebody gives them, offers them that role. Like the thing is that she's, Jennifer's Body was a really, like, she did a good job in that movie. And if people had seen that movie for what it was rather than what they thought it was, they would have seen that. But all they saw was like, oh, Megan Fox is being hot.
So that's one of your recommendations. That's
Jennifer's
a movie
Body?
That you is that a movie that you really like yourself?
No.
Oh,
I
my
see the importance
goodness.
Of it, but
another
I don't
another person
love it.
Mistreated Megan Fox over here.
It's okay. It's okay. No, I'm telling you, go read some articles about it and okay. you'll see what a feminist film
so
it really
you,
is.
So you, but you, not one of your favorites though.
No,
which is what you're
it's
saying.
All right.
But by the same screenwriter did you know.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you so let's go into like what are your so
oh, I love Inception
you
also. Inception's a great movie.
Inception is great. That's Leo, right? Mm-hmm. You're a fan of DiCaprio?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I like
but
him
not,
a lot.
But not a fan though.
Yeah, I you know, I'm glad he finally won an Oscar.
Okay.
But also that's the same guy who did Dark Knight, what's the director's name?
Christopher Nolan? Christopher Nolan?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan. And I like him a lot. But everybody likes Christopher Nolan.
So
he's a really easy director to like because he's so good.
Right, right. So when you're going into, what are your 2018 movie recommendations? I know we did what you were watching, but let's do a little bit different. Like, give mm-hmm. me a couple of films you recommend.
I don't know.
Or
I
not even 2018. I'm sorry. Let's not do that. Let's just in general. Oh, okay. In general, what you like. We already know that you like Miss Congeniality and The Parent Trap.
I'm going to recommend some indies that I know nobody's ever seen.
Okay, go for it.
Tanner Hall.
Tanner Hall.
Which is with a young Rooney Mara and a young Brie Larson.
Let me see. Brie Larson is going to be Captain Marvel. And then we had Rooney was in House of Cards, right?
No, that's her sister, Kate.
Who I do like, by the way.
Kate Mara's great.
No, only reason I like...
Both the Mara sisters
so
are
I, do, I like Rooney because of the Steelers. I really love the Steelers.
Yeah.
So,
They're Steelers and Giants royalty. It's a football family.
Unbelievable, yeah. By the way.
And they're both like so pretty
but,
and talented.
Yeah, go Steelers. I'm not really a Giants fan.
Well, I'm from New York.
So... So Tanner Hall, and you said that's a Rooney Mara, right?
Yeah, it's
Mara.
It's the first big independent film she ever did, but it's
what
super
year
small.
Was
no
that?
One's ever seen it.
Right.
2008 or 9. It's this really, really small independent film that like no one's ever seen, but it's really, really good.
Right, give me another.
I'm trying to think about indie films that I love. I showed.
So we're
someone-
gonna keep Parent Trap as the one. If you have not seen Parent Trap,
or
go
Freaky
watch
Friday.
It. Or Miss Congeniality.
Or Freaky Friday.
But I'm a huge fan of Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock's great.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of hers.
She's
all right, so Tanner Hall.
Whip It is really good.
Whip It.
With Ellen Page.
Whip It.
And it was directed by, not Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore. It's her
so,
directorial
you know,
debut.
Ellen Page, real quick, she's in a video game called Beyond Two Souls.
Mm-hmm,
very, very great performance.
She's great.
I'm just saying.
She's a really good actress. Fortunately, after she came out, it was like people don't offer her as many roles as they used to.
Okay. So when did Whip It come out?
2011, 2012.
All right. So Whip It and Tanner
Very
Hall.
Underrated. Yeah.
Okay.
They're all female-led indies, but that's sort of my speed, I guess.
So can I recommend a movie to you?
No.
It's called Star Wars. Have you seen it?
I've heard of it. It's that, isn't it that thing that Reagan did?
I think it's that, space soap opera.
Spaceballs?
You know what I mean? That's what it is. The space soap opera. You know, have you,
I haven't seen Star Wars.
Another thing is, I saw Godfather. Cause I know you said you didn't see Godfather.
I need to like,
why don't you like Godfather? What about these movies turned you off to watch? These are great pieces of cinema, by the way,
right? Like, you know what it is? A lot of it is probably like just the lack of like female representation in them.
Michelle Pfeiffer's in Godfather. She plays a great role.
I don't know why. It's never interested me.
Well, you know what? We'll segue into our next subject, but let me give you one more. Mm-hmm. Recommend. Have you seen Shawshank Redemption?
No.
Okay,
but
that's
I've heard that one's
that
good.
Is it. Is we are done
one?
Here.
Is Jodie Foster in that one?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I do know that Morgan Freeman and...
Oh, and that's not what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of a different movie.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption is a great movie. So you should see...
I've heard that.
So I will say this. If there's one movie I say I have to give the recommendation for a person if you have not seen a movie. Because mm-hmm. Some of these are definitely more like different genres where you're kind of like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, Shawshank Redemption. And I think that actually Stephen King wrote that, I want to say.
Can I give another recommendation?
Not unless it's better than Shawshank Redemption.
I don't know. I've never seen Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
I don't like horror films typically. I think that they are stupid and they aren't good. But occasionally I get one that I really like. And I'm like, damn, that was a good movie. And this is a Swedish film. It's called Let the Right One In. I don't like foreign films
usually.
What's
it called? Let
the Right One In.
Let the Right One In.
They made an American version of it with Chloe Grace Moretz. It's not as good. It's essentially the same film, but not as good.
Let the right one in.
It's Swedish and it's really, really, really good.
When did it come out?
I don't know. A long time ago. 2000 or I think like late 2000s, mid to late 2000s.
What do you like about it? And yeah, they're all like 2000 and beyond.
Well, I'm trying to think No, it's true. Parent Trap is the best.
The best of pre-2000 movie.
I know,
you can say.
I'm trying to think about a movie that I really loved that came out in like the 2010s.
So you said that, but what about the Swedish movie? Let the Right One In. Yeah. What about it that you were like?
It's about like kids, basically. Like they're both. I think the main characters are both like 10 and 12 or whatever, but they're not treated like younger. They're treated like adult, the movie doesn't look down on them because they're younger. It's about a little girl who's a vampire, but it's not, but it's not riding on the
is
whole
she killing people.
Yeah. But it's it's good, but there it's not riding on the whole vampire, like, you know, popularity train. It's
so what is
thing.
Like a
it's
vampire
really
killing
dark.
People that has like actual life problems and they're dealing with bills and stuff like that. I mean, she's a little girl.
She's got taxes.
What is she dealing with? She's got to do her tax returns. Government's after her.
No, it's really, I don't know. It's hard to explain why it's good. It's really dark and I like movies that are dark, but not, it's not cartoonish. It's like, it sort of takes like what if vampires existed and puts it in like the real world and grounds it.
Okay.
So it's not
so
like,
let the right one in. It's not like Swedish, you know, movie.
Twilight.
All right, so let's go. Let's go on to our last subject here, which is going to be who are some of your favorite actors and directors?
Jennifer Lawrence. I love her.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I
Jennifer
love her.
Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Really?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Is she your favorite
Jennifer
actress?
Wait, I'm sorry. Ask me again. Jennifer Lawrence.
So I hear that you like Jennifer Lawrence.
Never heard of her. Jennifer Lawrence. Okay. I love her.
So what about her that makes you your favorite?
Well, a lot of it is her personality. Like she's very, I love her on talk shows. She's very honest. We haven't Hollywood before Jennifer Lawrence, Hollywood, the women we saw were very like put together, very like, this is like what a perfect woman is supposed to be. And then Jennifer Lawrence, nobody would ever call her perfect. She's so imperfect and she's so honest and real. And you're just like, she doesn't censor herself. She doesn't pretend to be anything that she's not.
Despite the fact that she fits like the whole stereotype of Hollywood, actually, she's a beautiful actress and she's beautiful and she's good.
Right.
So that's, I feel like a lot of actresses, though, I feel like
I think she created a new stereotype because after Jennifer Lawrence,
what is a new stereotype?
What we wanted to like a new normal for Hollywood. After Jennifer Lawrence was so refreshing because all we had seen was like these women, all the 2000s was like these perfect women that were like, this is how you be perfect.
I mean, she's like an attractive blonde. How was that?
She can't help that she looks
bucking a stereotype in your sense.
It's not about how she looks. Okay. I'm not focusing on how she looks.
So
I don't
would you
think
say
Jennifer
that
Lawrence,
like, that's not
Jennifer
a stereotype
Lawrence
though? Because she's good as well. I'm not knocking her acting. Her acting.
Like, yeah, she's
I feel like Scarlett Johansson. I feel like Scarlett Johansson's good. She's attractive. She's not a bad actress.
But Jennifer Lawrence is, not like she made it okay to be like a little, she's not super
are
thin.
You talking about because of her off-screen persona more so? Would you
yes,
say?
But I also think she's an amazing actress. She can do anything. Like, mm-hmm. I think she's an incredible actress on screen, but I think a lot of her personality is a big part of why I love her.
Okay. So who else are you into?
Who else am I into? That's a great question. I love Sandra Bullock. I always have loved Sandra Bullock. Yeah, she's great. She's great. Fantastic. I don't know. I do this weird thing where I get really obsessed with like an actor or an actress. It's usually an actress. And I watch like everything on their IMDb page.
Really?
Oh yeah. I want to
start. What's the last actress you did that with?
Trying to remember. I don't remember who it was. It's been a minute. I've done it with a
so
lot of
So then you go
actresses.
Through all their indie stuff.
I literally
stuff.
Go down
go through
and I
their
watch
whole catalog.
I've seen everything on Jennifer Lawrence's IMDb page.
Okay.
Except for one thing that's like not out there that she made that like never came out. Mm-hmm. But everything else I've seen. Like if she was in an episode of a movie or a TV show, I just watched that episode. She was in the Bill Engvall show, which is like before she was fairly famous. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen the show, but on YouTube there's like every moment Jennifer Lawrence is in the Bill Engvall show. It's just like scenes she's in and I've watched that. One day I want to host a podcast called The Human IMDb because that's what my sister and my friends call me because I'm so knowledgeable about movies where I interview an actor or an actress that I've seen, if not everything, mostly everything on their IMDb page. Mm. And then we talk about from like the very first thing they did to the very last thing they did. And we go through like all the things essentially.
It's going to be like a 7-hour show.
Well,
for your more successful actors.
It'll have to be,
actresses.
I'll have to do it like once every like, because God knows I'm going to get an actress that's like done a ton of shit and I'm going to have to like go through it and be like, all right, what have I seen? And like revisit
things. Like 30 films.
Right. So I'll do it like maybe like once a month so that I can really watch everything and refresh myself. But again, it'll have to be one day when I know actors and actresses who I can ask to come on
so
my
what
show.
So who are your favorite?
Natalie Portman. I love Natalie Portman.
Okay, so Natalie Portman. Do you like any actors?
I love actors. I'm trying to think.
I love actors.
I do.
Like actors? I love
I don't,
them.
I don't get obsessed with them as like I do actresses. It's a little weird. I think I've seen everything that Milo Ventimiglia has done, if not
Who's
most
that?
Things. He's in This Is Us and he was in Heroes. And
what's his name?
Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the main actor.
Yeah.
And This Is Us.
This
okay.
Is Us, yeah.
Absolutely.
But I kind of lost interest in him a little bit.
Why is that?
I don't know. With actors, it's like, I really like them.
Are they,
and
so
then
are
I
they
get,
more
and
like phase,
bored.
More phase status than the actresses? Would
more,
you say?
What do you mean?
Like you go through phases with them
oh,
and
phases,
kind of and
yes.
kind of like fall out
if,
of that
if,
phase.
If I have an obsession with an actress, I will always love her, even if I'm like less focused on her.
Okay.
So like, I did definitely went through a phase where I was like watching everything Megan Fox was in, and I haven't watched anything she was in recently because she's been doing like Ninja Turtles and shit like that. It's not very good, but I'll always have a part in my heart for her because I did watch everything she was in. But like guys, it's like, yeah, they're definitely phases. I think there was a while I watched everything Channing Tatum was in.
Really? Went to the Channing Tatum phase, huh?
Yeah, but you know what? I got less attracted to him the older he got. So.
Why? So is
I
that
don't know, his
so
face
so,
changed
so a lot. To flip this on, let's play devil's advocate here real quick. Mm-hmm. Because if we can go with the actors,
yeah.
Is it about their attraction or is it about what they're bringing to the table
it's about
as
both.
An actor?
As
you know?
An actor, you're bringing both.
It's so a- then, but as an actress, you feel like if people are looking at their attractive, you feel like they're taken away from
no,
what they're bringing outside of that.
Not always.
Okay.
There's
so,
a lot of times the reason
do you feel
that
like they want Channing Tatum to take off his shirt. Is that bad? Like, hey,
no.
Channing, we want you to really take off your
no,
shirt.
Because
in this
think
next
about
scene.
How often women have to take off their clothes. Men should take off their clothes more.
So then you
men,
so,
men don't have to reveal any, like think about how many times in movies and TV shows, women's boobs are out and like, you never see a guy's penis. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it's
my
never.
Penis. Well, yeah. Well,
what
well,
is a guy
well,
showing?
Well, spoiler
like his
alert,
butt.
Go
like that's
watch
not,
Roma, and then you'll
see
be
penises.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, then I'm there.
If you're looking, for.
I love women have to be naked all the time.
Frontal nudity,
and we have to be very vulnerable. And men don't have to be as vulnerable because the most they have to show is like their butt and butt's a butt. You know what I'm saying? It's not
is
as
it?
Big of a deal.
Is
yeah,
a butt a butt?
Because
I don't know.
Butt.
I don't want to. I don't. I mean, I'm not really a fantasy yeah, guy's
like,
butt as much as I am seeing women's butts.
Well, obviously you're not attracted to men. Why would you want it? But you have to see women's breasts all the time and men don't have anything like that that they can
so is that like men's fault or they just
no,
don't have
it's not
it?
Men's fault but if women have to be vulnerable in that way men should have to be vulnerable in that way
I feel like
and the
it's
only
like
way
different
to make a man
levels
that
of vulnerability for men like I feel like the unfortunate and probably just the realistic nature of things with gender roles and I feel like in certain ways if it was a perfect society then gender roles would not exist at all right
sure
but they do
yeah
so then I feel like if a movie some movies are portraying maybe what that is versus what a perfect society would look like where they would have no gender roles. But I feel mm-hmm. like if a movie is made like that, a lot of people won't believe the movie. It's like people are put into hard situations in those kind of discussions when they're trying to make a movie. Like, I can try to make a movie that portrays the way a world should be. Mm-hmm. And I can try to make a movie that portrays just the way the world is. And I feel like people are put into tough boxes there. You know what I mean? Because if a person makes a movie, let's say Rachel makes a movie and Rachel's making a movie that envisions the world as she feels it should be seen. Mm-hmm. But then your average person goes to the movie and is like, what is this? Then it makes like $17 at the box office.
Yeah, but don't you? I mean, yeah.
Now we're put in tough financial spots. You see what I'm saying? The real world is going to seep in here at some point when it comes to making movies
right. So
that
in the
are
real
idealistic
world,
versus
men have penises.
That.
And if you're having a sex scene, I mean,
that's called porn.
No, porn would be if they're actually having sex. That's different.
I mean, you got to show the penis, right? No, I mean, like in general, like if you're
right,
having
you
a sex,
see,
you're saying like a penis should be shown in a sex scene and like a mainstream.
Not
movie.
Every sex scene, but yeah, if a woman has to be that vulnerable, a man should have to be. Like, so, just because we're not a perfect world where there's gender roles and all that shit doesn't mean we should strive. We shouldn't strive to make it more equal.
I don't see anything wrong with that, but I do feel like that if you have like people that have to make these decisions and they have to make these decisions based
the
on
men
fine,
have to
based
make the
on
decisions.
Well, anybody has to make because a woman is entitled to be able to make a profit on her movie. So it is.
So you're saying the only way that we're going to get a profit is if you see tits?
I wouldn't say the only way, but I would say that that's a little bit more like generalizing. That's making it
Magic
boiling
Mike
it down
made a
to
lot
very,
of money,
very simplistic. No- yeah, because Channing Tatum is an attractive guy. Mm-hmm. Taking off his shirt.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of what we rail against in other genders. So if it is going to be a completely across the board, why should he have to take off his shirt? Why can't he just have a Magic Mike movie where they're talking about, you know, I mean, getting to know
about,
the real him.
Because it's about strippers.
getting to know
it
the man. The man
be
behind,
realistic.
The man with his clothes on. That's what we want to really
because
get to know.
Because it wouldn't be realistic to see a movie about strippers where you don't, that takes
where
me out of the
world. You don't have to strip.
Yeah.
So what directors are you into?
That's a good question. I love David O. Russell.
What did he do?
He did Silver Linings Playbook. That's another one of my favorite
movies.
Oh, okay. Silver Linings
with
Playbook
Jennifer
is an incredible movie.
Okay.
It's smart. It's funny. It's original. That's great.
That was Jim Florence and Bradley Cooper, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other directors. Let's see. I don't know. It's going to take me a minute. Yeah.
Are there any directors that you just
watch?
So you're more so into actors and
into
actresses
actors than, directors,
than, yeah. than directors. So I've noticed that. Because when I was growing up, there's definitely a lot of actors that I liked, that I really liked all their stuff. Like, you know, I was a big fan of course, Morgan Freeman. I was a big fan of Al Pacino because I liked, De Niro, the other classic, I guess, classically trained type actors who had like, they could act in anything that, like they can act in your Godfathers of the world, you know, but they can act in other films as well. They took that craft very seriously, you know. I feel like when Will Smith wanted to be taken seriously as an actor, he played that gay role because, you know, that took them out of being the rapper guy. You know what I mean? And getting typecast is always a rapper guy. And same thing when Ice Cube wanted to become an actor, he couldn't just play guy in the hood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to play different roles that take you out of what you're your typecast, what your typecast kind of role would be. I'm not sure if I'm into any. Well, I do. I love like the your Spielbergs, your Scorseses of the world.
For sure,
I do like those. I think Ryan Coogler did do a great job with Black Panther, and I'm interested to see kind of how that goes.
I mean, I love
from this point forward.
I love the Duplass brothers. I love Lynn Sheldon. I think she's great.
What does she do?
She's done a couple of indie films that are all kind of similar, but they're still really good. I don't remember the name of any of them right now. Jesus.
She's done a lot of films, and they're all really good.
All right, hold on.
And so what was her name, though?
Lynn Sheldon.
Lynn
Sheldon.
That one
I remembered without looking.
Okay. And then the Duplass Brothers was the one you said before that kind of had a fan base before, and then kind of fell off when they did the HBO show.
Maybe that's not her name. Hold on. Yeah. I mean, I still really like them. Like, I didn't like that movie.
What have they done since? Like, what have they done as a
They've both been focusing on acting a lot. So
themselves.
Neither of them have been.
Okay.
They have a show on HBO. That's out now. That's called Room 301 or something like that. I haven't been watching it, but it's like every episode's like a different story. Okay. The movie that Lynn Sheldon did is called, hold on. Let me make sure this is her. Uh-huh. Yeah. Lynn Sheldon. It's a movie called Laggies.
Laggies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With Keira Knightley. And she did a movie called Your Sister's Sister with the Duplass brothers.
Oh, there we go. It's like the perfect.
She's directed.
So did you, have you seen those movies? Mm-hmm. You seen all those?
Okay. Yeah, she's directed a couple episodes of Glow. She directed a couple episodes of Love. This is now I'm just looking at her IMDb page. Mm-hmm. She directed an episode of The Good Place, which I love.
What is The Good Place?
It's with Kristen Bell.
What is it about? It's a show.
Yeah, it's okay. A show about, it's really funny. Sort of about philosophy, but in a very comedic way. It's about, Kristen Bell's character is named Eleanor Shellstrop, and she's this really terrible woman who dies and is accidentally confused with another Eleanor Shellstrop and sent to heaven instead of hell. But she has to like deal with being in heaven by people and like doesn't want to be revealed to be who she is. She has to hide who she is.
So she doesn't go to hell.
So she doesn't go to hell. Yeah. Okay. And it goes a lot of different places.
All right.
And the woman who created New Girl is really funny. What is her name? She also wrote No Strings Attached.
Is that a movie?
It is a movie with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It just came out this, Elizabeth Merriweather is great. It came out the same time as Friends with Benefits, so.
You're right. It gets kind of lost in the shuffle yeah. there a bit, huh?
Well, it's kind of like this movie Bird Box that came out on Netflix that I haven't seen yet.
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
So we will definitely revisit that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But I've heard that it's very similar to A Quiet Place. And unfortunately, if it hadn't come out at the same time as A Quiet Place,
it would be lost in trouble. And I did watch A Quiet Place. Did you watch it?
I loved A Quiet Place. It was so good.
Yeah. I like that too.
And like, okay, so Natalie Portman was just in this movie called Vox Lux, where she plays sort of a Lady Gaga-esque pop star. And it was compared a lot to
Stars Born
because it came out at the same time. Very different movies. Very, very, very different.
Sometimes those movies are just like unfortunate timing. Yeah. You know what I mean? But we'll get into all that later. This has been a great show. We definitely will follow up after we watch a few more movies and see you next time.
Bye.